Well, good morning to each and every one of you. So glad you are here as we gather to worship, to look to God's Word, to be changed by an encounter with His truth, to be empowered by His Spirit. There's much that we anticipate God doing in our lives as we meet together. We don't want to just be doing human activity. We want to be encountering the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord God Almighty, we affirm Your rule, Your authority. We recognize Your majesty, and we humble ourselves before You. We come into Your presence only because of You beckoning us and inviting us. Because of that invitation, we come boldly into the throne room of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. We thank You, Lord, that You are not merely holy and perfect and righteous, but You are also fully full of grace. And You extend Your grace and mercy to us. We recognize that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. Things we have done and things we have left undone. And now we come to You, the only source of forgiveness and cleansing. And we invite You to drench us in Your sacrificial, outpoured blood. May the atoning sacrifice be effective in each one of our lives. We celebrate that it is, that You are the author of salvation and the one who brings it to completion. And so today we receive from You the cleansing. We receive from You Your very righteousness imputed into us. And we invite You now by the power of Your Spirit to illuminate Your Word into our thoughts, into our consciousnesses, into our very spirits, that we might be changed by an encounter with Your truth, that we might be more like You in character and in action and in word. Lord, we desire to be close to You. We desire to hear from You. We desire to draw near to You. And so we come. We come to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I welcome to each and every one of you. This past Friday was pretty cold outside. Here in northern Minnesota, it was about 31 degrees below zero at my house. And one of the things about my house is that it's heated primarily by electric baseboards, which are very convenient for bringing heat into each room, but it can be kind of expensive. 12 cents a kilowatt hour approximately for electricity, unless you sign up for this program called off-peak heating, which I've done, and it drops the price down to 5 cents a kilowatt hour. The only complication with that is that you have to give the electric company permission to turn off your heat when they have a high demand on their region-wide load. So that happened Friday morning. It was cold in my house. It was 61 degrees, which is a lot warmer than it was outside, colder than I like it to be. But in order to have off-peak heating, you have to have a backup heating source, which I do have. In the basement, I have a propane heater in one corner of the basement, but it's near the ping-pong table. And if it kicks on when you're playing ping-pong, it gets too hot, so sometimes it gets lowered. So the house was chilly. So I turned on the propane heater, and I went to the main floor, and I turned on the propane fireplace, and it's so nice to see a flame shoot up. I stayed near the flame that morning. I had calls to make. I had a Zoom conference to be on. I had sermon work to do. I stayed near the flame. The house near the flame was warm. The other side of the house where the bathroom and kitchenware was cold, I stayed near the flame. And that's an analogy for us today. We want to be people, and we want to be a congregation that stays near the flame. God is described as the fire, and He's the one that wants to baptize us in His fire. We want to be people of the fire, people of the flame. So I encourage you this morning to make it your prayer, not just today, but throughout this coming month, that the month of January would be a month of approaching and drawing near and staying close to the flame of God's presence, the flame of God's Spirit, the flame of God's holiness. It's easy to drift. It's easy to wander. It's easy to get distracted. I don't know how prone you are to wander, but my heart finds it really easy to be distracted. And before I know it, I haven't paid any attention to God for hours, maybe even longer. But there's an invitation extended to each and every one of us. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I believe God wants to immerse you into himself, into his very fire. Would you welcome that? Would you be willing to make that your prayer today and the days to follow? God is a God who wants to put his very self inside of you and draw you into an encounter with him. We read from Ezekiel this morning as our call to worship. Ezekiel 36 talks about God putting his Spirit in us, and then that Spirit in us moving us to follow his decrees and carefully keep his laws. And we will be people that live in the land he's given us. We will be his people, and God will be our God. Or the prophet Joel said it this way in chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I, God speaking, will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit. What was prophesied is now reality for us. God pouring out his Spirit. As Jesus was beginning his ministry, John the Baptist was the forerunner. And John the Baptist said these to the crowds who were wondering who he was. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's Matthew 3:11. John was the forerunner, calling people to repent of sin. That's good. But Jesus came to immerse people into his very self, to immerse them into the Spirit and the fire of God's presence. Luke 24:45. The end of Jesus' ministry on earth. At the end of Luke's gospel account of Jesus' ministry, these words are recorded. Jesus speaking, saying, first talking about Jesus. Then he, Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, and he told them this. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus knew that his followers needed power, needed a fire, needed a flame, needed the energy of God. He said, don't go, wait until you receive what my Father has promised. That's how Luke ends his gospel account. And then he turned to Luke's account of the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the early church, Acts chapter 1. It picks it up at the same spot. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We need power. Power to heat our homes, power to drive our cars, power to do the things we have to accomplish in life. But all of that will fail us unless we have power from on high, the promised power from the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, living in us, doing his work through us, enabling us to be the people God has called us to be. You need power. The power is received from God, from his Spirit. So let's draw near to the flame. Let's draw near to God's power. This power was poured out on that first day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 picks it up. It says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. A crowd gathered at that and were confused about it. In verse 11, Peter stands up and says to them, or first it says in verse 11, these people saying, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Then Peter stands up, verse 14, and said to them, as he raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. He went on to explain that this was the outpouring of the promised Spirit from the Father, the power of God. Power. You need power. You need power to do what God has called you to do. Have you been experiencing a lack of power? I believe God is inviting us this month to receive the power we need to be the people he's called us to be. So what will happen if you receive this power? What were the things that will be accomplished in your life? Well, first of all, the verse we just read says that when they received the Holy Spirit, they began to speak. They began to speak to the people around them. They began to praise God. The crowd says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God. And Peter stands up and addresses them and explains to them what's going on. Power to speak, power to explain comes when you receive the infilling empowerment of the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I will ask the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus asked the Father to send the Spirit to be in the followers of Christ. Isn't that amazing? The Trinity is talked about here. The Trinity is involved. And God is three. God is one. It's hard to understand. We can't really comprehend it. But all are involved in this moment when God says, I'm going to live in you by my Spirit. Not just with you, in you. It's called the Spirit of Truth. So what's the power you get from the Spirit of Truth? The ability to understand truth. The ability to understand truth. When the Spirit comes upon you, also empowers you to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He prays for you and empowers you to pray the will of God. Another power you get from the Holy Spirit being in you is the ability to be like Christ in actions and character. Like Christ in actions and character. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. The outcome of the Spirit. The things the Spirit produces in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the characteristics the Spirit empowers to be produced in your life. Consider this section of Scripture. I want to encourage you to turn to this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. We'll read a couple of paragraphs here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. This goes back to this ability to understand and then speak the truth. Our service began by Dale joking about news or fake news. In a time when there seems to be a little bit of confusion about what's truth and what's not true, we need to understand this teaching about the Spirit of truth leading us into truth and then empowering us to speak truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Now the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Sometimes it's hard to understand why people think the way they think, talk about things the way they talk about them, have values or priorities or passions about things that just don't seem to line up with our own. And here's a big key to understand that. They don't have the Spirit of Christ. So they don't understand the truth of God and cannot speak in alignment with God's truth. We have the truth of God when we have the Spirit of God. And we declare God's truth, the mysteries about salvation, then the mysteries about walking a Spirit-empowered life, the mysteries about understanding God's will and God's right and God's what God declares to be wrong. That comes through the Spirit. The question for us as we move forward, have we received the Spirit when we receive salvation? And then are we in the process of the daily habit of drawing near to the flame, the Spirit of God, so that we are listening and being guided and being empowered. It'd be nice if we didn't have a choice, we think, that it just automatically happened. But the truth of the matter is that God has still given you the ability to exercise your will on whether to draw near to Him or not, whether to listen to Him or not, whether to obey Him or not. I'm desirous for myself and for you that this would be a month of us drawing near to hear, to experience, to be empowered, to live out the reality that God has called for us. But there's some scary verses in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:25, keep in step with the Spirit. All of these things imply that it's possible for you to quench, for you to grieve, for you to be out of step with the Spirit. But all of those are an invitation to do the opposite, to cause the Spirit to rejoice, to have the Spirit close, to have the Spirit flaming high in your life, to be walking in step with the Spirit. Dave Urbanski writes about not quenching the Spirit. He says it's like a fire. The imagery is of a fire. And what does a fire need? A fire needs heat and fuel and oxygen. The fuel is the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, illuminates it for us and makes it alive within us. The heat is prayer, especially listening to God kind of prayer. And oxygen is a willing heart. We need a willing heart. You have the power to restrict or unleash the Spirit of God in your life. Your willing heart. A willing heart that releases the Spirit in your life. See, I think God wants to do some amazing things in us this year. He wants to fill us repeatedly, over and over, with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine. That leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Continually, repeatedly, over and over, filled with the Spirit. Reverend Zimmer was a Lutheran pastor years gone by. He wrote of something that happened to him. His testimony is written this way, describing this night. "Oh, glorious rapture of the soul! I arose, I shouted, and I sang, and I laughed in the Spirit until I cried for very joy as the flood tide of God's grace rolled in over my soul again and again with purifying and cleansing power. I felt the holy fire of God burning in my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ was immersing me with the Holy Spirit and according to His Word and with His power." He ended up having to leave his church because they didn't want that kind of life. They didn't want that kind of fire. You remember the name of the French scientist and philosopher Blaise Pascal? Later in his life, he had an experience that was similar. He was an eloquent man. He wrote well, but he was reduced to writing a few brief, repetitive words when he experienced holy heat. He described it this way as his night of fire, November 23rd, 1654. Fire, fire, security, security, feeling, joy, peace, forgetfulness of the world and all except God, joy, 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 tears of joy. From that night forward, it launched him on a new realm of the Spirit. And he was inspired to write not about scientific things, but about his philosophical essays on the nature of God. He encountered the fire of God. And you could go through so many more testimonies of men and women who got tired of just trying to act like a Christian, but who hungered for God, who drew near to God, who opened themselves up to God and read the Scripture and said, "God, you promised to send your Spirit, to baptize us in your Spirit in fire. I want that. I'm willing to turn from anything that holds me back. I'm willing to remove the distractions of the world so I might pursue you and encounter you in all your greatness, in all your holiness, in all your power. I'm desirous of that for myself and for you." And we're not talking about an emotional change. We're talking about a true encounter with the manifest presence of Christ. It won't change you into somebody else. It'll make you to become the person you were meant to be. God's holiness in you, aligning you with His truth, empowering your mouth to be His conduit of words, of blessings, of declaring the greatnesses of God, enabling you to have His love in such a measure it overflows you and impacts the world, the people around you. God having His way in your heart and in your life. Do you want it? Will you draw near to the flame? Let's pray. God, throughout your scriptures, you talk about our inability and your ability. You promised in the Old Testament that there would be a day when you send your Spirit to live inside of us, where all flesh will be filled with your Spirit, men and women, old and young, even bondservants. As you began your ministry, it was told by John the Baptist that you were the one who would come and baptize with fire in the Holy Spirit. As you ended your earthly ministry, you told your people, wait till you have received the gift from on high, until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, as you left, you sent your Spirit. On that day the church was birthed, your Spirit came down like flames of fire on every single one of the people. Every person received the fire of your Holy Spirit. And they were empowered to declare your goodness, to declare your glories. They were empowered to understand your truth, remember your truth, and speak your truth. They were empowered to have your characteristics and your actions inside of them. They were empowered by your Spirit to be like you. All of your purity, all of your holiness, all of your love, all of your peace, and all of your joy. Lord, we desire this. We confess that we've been distracted. We confess that we've been led astray by our own thoughts and worldly things and lies of the devil. We desire, Lord, a fresh start, and you are the God of fresh starts. So today, we draw near to the flame. We approach you. We invite you to fill us again. Fill us again with all of yourself. We invite you, Spirit of God, to take up residence in our bodies, in every aspect of our souls, filling our spirits, so that we become temples of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you be so gracious to remind us again and again and again to draw near.